Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
James Bonding has returned. I'm Matt Gourley.
I'm Matt Myra.
We're back. Hell, we never left. This is a little bit of a check-in episode to announce something nice and special coming up.
Did I do that right? Did I say my name correctly?
I think so.
It's been so long.
I haven't used my name since the last time I recorded an episode of this.
Do you know when this podcast started, Matt Gourley? Do you remember what year it was?
Oh my God. It was either, because it was right after Skyfall came out that we started kind of brainstorming this. So it was either late 2012 or early 2013. Did we do this in 2012?
I think we did. I think this is our 10-year podcast-versary.
That's crazy.
Isn't that like, I was saying it to Dory the other night. I was like, she's like, how long have you been doing that podcast? I was like, I don't know, like 10 years? She's like, what?
Well, take that, Connery, Lazenby, and Dalton.
We're in that dark period between Bonds that like, it's I would call it a, yeah, it's a drought of information and anticipation. There is none. I would say there's no anticipation because we don't even have a name of a Bond. And now it's His Majesty's Secret Service, which is awkward.
Yes. And I was thinking about a new Bond movie could be called On His Majesty's Secret Service, or better yet, and I think I saw someone wrote this on Twitter, I forget who, For King and Country.
Oh, that's a good name.
It's kind of classy.
I like that.
It's romantic.
I know. Really.
When you think King and Country, you think of it in some greater sense, not actually like nothing against him, but King Charles. Bond is doing all this for King Charles.
There's an element of it that's like less, it's less romantic, certainly. I don't know, less classic. Although I was thinking back, Fleming, I guess when Fleming even wrote Casino Royale, that was the reign of Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. Everything Bond, literary and cinematic, was in the reign of Elizabeth
II. Bananas. That is bananas. I'm so glad he got to help her parachute into the Olympics.
Yes. And so speaking of a grand reign.
Yeah.
We have some James Bonding news. We finally reattained all of the back catalog of James Bonding from Stitcher, and the folks there were nice enough to work with us. They were really helpful in moving it over into Acast as a publishing platform, who have been just wonderful as well. And that means no more paywall, no more pay for James Bondy. This stuff is all going to be brought out and re-released starting this week, Wednesday, October 5th, official James Bond Day. And all of it's going to come out starting from the beginning weekly. And that means on Wednesday, you'll get episode 0, which is us discussing the origins of James Bonding. And then episode 1, Dr. No with Paul F. Tompkins.
Unbelievable. It's a dream. It's kind of like, I feel like one of those, like, you know, you read those stories about like John Fogerty and the Creedence Clearwater Revival master tapes and the song publishing rights. I feel like we're finally able to perform on the road again. Like I never thought we'd get them back. In all honesty, I thought they were just sort of like gone.
I know they're out of the Stitcher dungeon and they've busted free out into the Acast horizons.
It's fascinating to like, I'm like kind of excited to like listen to them again and sort of see where we were at. What was our Bond appetite? What was it like back then? did we slowly get broken, or are we, or do we have the appetite still? I don't know.
Well, I still love Bond just as much as I always have. You know, like anything you like, with time it ebbs and flows. So because the movies are in a bit of an ebb, probably my engagement with it is a little bit low.
Do you think that the, now if I remember correctly, in the first run of our show, we bookended and kept meeting at the middle. That's exciting. So the week after Dr. No will be Skyfall, I'm guessing.
Yes, with Steve Agee.
Wow.
And then it was From Russia with Love with Jonah Ray.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I think Quantum of Solace with Emily Gordon.
Oh, my God. Wow. We had...
Who did Casino Royale?
Didn't we do that with Amanda?
Oh, yeah. Amanda and Maria. Oh, my God. That's one of the best episodes.
Yeah.
And then it's Goldfinger with Ali and Georgia, which was one of our most divisive and controversial episodes.
You know what? You know what's funny about that episode is I bet listening to it now, it will neither be controversial nor divisive.
Yeah, I think now time has borne some of its findings out.
Yeah, that's cool. It's going to be, wow. So do we have then, beyond those episodes, there will eventually be that second season of commentaries. Like, people have a lot of content coming out.
There's 118 episodes.
Oh, my God. Is that true? I just remember the day that I checked our feed, and I know we know I looked in and I had no episodes in there. And they just disappeared. And I was like, what happened? Really felt like Spectre came in and did some nastiness to our feed. Since we're now so far removed from No Time to Die, now that you can stream it anytime you die or want to die. How are you with it? How does that?
I still really like it. I will say, though, that I don't go back and rewatch it much, which I used to do a lot with the Craigs when they would hit streaming.
I have to say that I haven't watched it in a long, long time, probably since we last recorded. It was the last time I watched it. And then I saw on Prime last night, I was looking, or two nights ago, it started playing the trailer. And if you've seen this trailer they cut together for Prime, it's a very lengthy trailer, and it starts with like Judi Dench and Casino Royale narration. And then it goes into like everything where it's like you just feel like they're really patting themselves on the back for going like, see what we did here, when it was clearly not a plan. I mean, not in the same way that Star Wars wasn't a plan, you know, at least Broccoli and Wilson managed to connect it in a way that was like, oh, OK.
Yeah, and we're going to see all these 60-year retrospective things. Like, there's a documentary on the sound of Bond coming out on Wednesday, on Bond Day.
Ooh. Did they get all the licensing? Are we going to hear it all? I assume they did.
Oh, yeah. It's an official Eon thing with all, you know, the major players are being interviewed and musicians. It looks great. And then there's, of course, the, like, Amazing Race James Bond whirlwind adventure, too. So who knows what that'll be like.
I'm like literally like, what? This is news to me.
I bet every listener of this podcast knows more about this stuff than we do at this point.
Do you have like does this stuff, I'm assuming a lot of this stuff just gets like tweeted at you.
Well, I barely look at,
I don't look at anything anymore. And that's the problem. So
I know I do have a like news aggregator on my phone that I subscribe to a number of James Bond sites and blogs. So when I remember to check that, that's how I get my Bond news as well.
It does feel like it feels weird being so disconnected from it. But in the sense of like, there's nothing. I thought, or had, maybe I'm thinking incorrectly, there's nothing going on. But you're telling me, there's stuff going on.
Well, it's all retrospective, this 60th anniversary stuff that's happening. So on Wednesday, the 5th would have been 60 years to the day that Dr. No was released in cinemas.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. And there's now, I mean, who do we have left here? I guess we've got just Moore and Connery have gone to the other side, huh?
Yeah, although George Lazenby recently got booted from a Q&A at the end of On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Did you hear about this?
No, tell me.
Well, as you can imagine, his stories about Bird Dog and Sheila's have not aged as well as he might have hoped. So he was doing some Q&A. And normally he'll do this for, you know, screenings of On Her Majesty's Secret Service with Bond fans. But this, I think, was from some festival that wasn't 100% that. Sure. And they literally stopped a mid Q&A and said, thanks, that'll be enough. Because the audience was like rumbling and kind of shuffling in their seats and complaining. And oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, he's a wild dinosaur. He's never going to change. But there's a part of me that's just like, okay, yeah. I mean, let him go and let him get taken off stage. I love it.
It's very funny to think about this. Like, yeah, because those stories, I mean, even in the Lazenby doc, like, it's just like, should you be saying this out loud all the time now?
Yeah. No. But of course it's him.
Yeah.
You know, of course he is. Yeah.
I was watching the US Open, you know, tennis, and one of the commentators was like saying how they had just had a lovely birthday or something or wedding. And then like also, oh no, she was saying happy birthday to George Lazenby.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, the father of my kids, George Lazenby. And I was like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
And then my Dory was like, yeah, that's I forget her name. I think Shriver. She was married to George Lazenby for a little while, and they had like kids. I want to say like in the year 2002.
Oh my God!
You can't stop. You can't. I mean, I wonder what tales other male models of that era have.
I know, I'm sure. He's the only James Bond I've ever met. You met Craig.
I did. I met Daniel Craig. Lazenby, I didn't. I never met him. I saw him in person at a Q&A, but never met him. And then
I shook his hand and got the soundtrack vinyl of On Her Majesty's signed by him.
That's a good get.
Yeah.
That's a really good get. I mean, I have Sean Connery's shoes, so whatever. It's cool.
What?
From Never Say Never Again. I have his shoes.
That's right. Oh my God.
they're over there. They're over in a corner over there. It's like, what do you do with them? I don't know. I just hold on to them. Occasionally put them on when I feel a little saucy and I maybe want to slap a woman, which I would never do. I put those shoes on. They remind me. These are not the shoes I want to walk a mile in.
Well, what else is new Bond-wise?
I just still can't get over the fact that they decided to kill James Bond.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. So what side do you come down on that now? Does that age well with you? What are we a year out? We're literally a year out.
Yeah. It still to this day, it feels like an unnecessary end to that character, but like an appropriate end to that actor.
Yeah, I think that's for that reason I still like it. And I think it seems like the Bond world maybe is probably 50-50, which is interesting that they were able to pull off something so kind of
and get it to be that way. Yeah. That is wild to think about. Because when I watched it, I was like, are we okay with this? And I look around and like it was an afternoon screening and I was sort of by myself, like, okay, I guess this is what happened, everybody. Okay. I start talking to myself as I walk out of the Grove.
Amanda cried when we saw it, and you know, I think I teared up a little bit too. And, I mean, part of it is the end of an era. You really feel that end of an era.
Yes, I agree with that. But it also felt like such I don't know, it's really a bold It's a bold move. I applaud them for that.
Yeah.
For like agreeing to it, which I feel like they, like, it's wild to me that Broccoli and Wilson were like, okay.
I think that was the only way they're going to get Craig back. And they were probably like, And they had nothing to lose on a last Craig movie, right?
That's very true. But now the question becomes, and this is very early to be speculating in any way, shape, or form, about what happens next with the franchise regarding the next Bond. But, like, you don't think they do another Casino Royale thing, do you?
I hope not. All I know is that they've said that they want someone younger that can commit to a 10 to 12 year run. So it does seem like they're really trying to grandfather that in. You know me,
in Daniel Craig terms, that's two movies.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you hope all their legal woes are over and they could just do in 12 years. It would be nice if they could pull out four movies with 3 years between.
Well, it's interesting. Then, like, if they set the factory up, you know, anything like Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you hear that they said likely Purvis and Wade will work on the next Bond as well?
In a way, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. I'm still of the camp of just give me like at least three movies,
mm-hmm.
1 to 2 years apart, with mm-hmm. three different Bond actors in three different eras. So you got Idris Elba in a more modern setting, Michael Fassbender in the late 50s.
This is
Emily Blunt in the 90s. I don't know. I'll take
it. Is this a common thought of what they might do?
It's common in my head.
That's where I'm like, man, I want to get in there with you and see what that's like, because that is not something I would have ever imagined.
No.
I mean, part of me was like, once the Amazon deal happened, I was like, oh, does this now open it up to them doing, you know, a Q Branch series or a...
I think if Amazon had it their way, yes. And Broccoli's are, I think, still resisting that. You know, all of this is what you can glean from their kind of cryptic quotes about everything.
Yeah. I mean,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you had to... Because probably you and I haven't watched much Bond recently, just because, like you said, it's kind of like that lull between. If you're going to get off this podcast and put on one Bond movie right now, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Me too.
I think I lean Octopussy, weirdly.
Oh, wow, weirdly. Lovely. Lovely. Oh my God, that's great.
It just is like a happy time of Bond, you know, because it's like it's like in that not the middle of the run, but towards the end of the run, but like, you know, you're sandwiched behind the leather bound cover of George Lazenby and Timothy Dalton, and you're just all in those deep moor pages, and it's like, let's have a pun every 45 seconds.
I think I'm more in the like kind of subtle camp. I'd either go From Russia with Love or Living Daylights right now for some reason. It's because I want fall to come in and I want it to be kind of cool and crisp and, you know.
I keep waiting for fall, and all I see is like next weekend it's going to be like 95 again.
Yeah.
Which I feel it's like awful. Is just what we signed up for by being, you know, humans who've destroyed the earth. Like, it is what it is.
I thought you were going to say what we signed up for living here, but I was born here. I had no choice.
Well, yeah, I do say that often to Dory. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I know.
I just go out to some other town and go,
why am I not living here?
I talk into this thing for a living essentially now, and I can do this from anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
And yet, still...
You don't have to tell me.
Whatever. It's all...
I do love L.A. I love L.A. But we still need... We need a Bond to come to L.A. more than just the airport and Drax's mansion and wherever that's supposed to be, Valencia or something. I don't know where the hell that's supposed
it was
to be.
It was a functioning restaurant at the time, right? When he landed there.
Oh, the who was that? Paul Williams, the architect that did that?
Yeah.
LAX cool was diner. Yeah.
Top of the world. No, that's not what it's called. Whatever.
Remember they fly from LAX to Drax's imported French giant chateau, but they don't say quite where that is, I don't think. And it feels like it's like Valencia or Santa Clarita or somewhere.
And also did Drax have that brought brick by brick from France?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
William Randolph Hearst of it all is very funny to me.
I know.
So it must have been San Simeon, right?
Oh yeah, maybe it was that high up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he needs to take that copter. Together,
you're right. Yeah.
Actually, you know what's funny is I was thinking about this morning because I knew we were recording today and I was out. I was golfing by myself, as I often do, because I...
What ball were you playing?
I wish I was playing a Schlesinger 7, but I was playing Titleist Pro V1. I was thinking about how much more of a... You would have gotten these beautiful shots that like showcased whatever clubs he was using and like who was I was thinking about all the marketing they missed out on, all that stuff. And like, it's such a bummer now because like you go and Schlesinger used to be like a great golf company and now they're like, they make like their balls are like the worst.
Really?
Yeah, they're the cheapest and they don't go that far and they're like hitting little rocks around. And it's just funny to think about like a thing like that. That was like, it must have been in the 60s. It must have been the peak of golf equipment, whatever Bond was playing.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
And you look at it now and if you find one in the woods, throw it back because it's no good. It's that kind of a situation. Because I remember buying I'm going to get a box of Schlesingers and see how they are. And they were like, it was $10 and they were some of the worst balls I've ever hit. It was probably like a bespoke Scottish golf club maker that made Sean Connery's Goldfinger clubs.
Probably. Yeah. Have you heard about the 60th anniversary Macallan Scotch bottles they're putting out?
Oh my God, no, please tell me.
Oh my God. Okay, so there's six of them and they're each a different decade of the cinematic Bond, but the whiskey's the same in each bottle. And I looked at them like, okay, I love whiskey. I love James Bond. I'm getting this. But then when you find out the price tag, I just can't. It's $1,007 per bottle, $6,032 for all six decades. It's the same whiskey in each one.
That's so dumb.
There's so many promotional things coming out. Plus, there was that Christie's auctions. Did you see any of that? Like, they sold an Aston Martin. Oh, God. They had so much stuff. They had a set of all Daniel Craig's 5 bow ties. From his tuxedos.
How much did a set of Daniel Craig's bow ties go for?
I'm not sure, but I was tempted. But again, it's like, I just can't justify it. Those I would wear at some point.
Sure. Well, that you could. Yeah. I think that's the kind of thing you can wear. Because when you're in a situation with a bow tie, chances of spilling something on a bow tie are very slim. I don't know how you would get it there. You know, you'd have to have... An angry wine thrown in your face to stain it.
Yeah. I think if I weren't getting married, I mean, if I was getting married prior or after that and I had the money, that would be a reason to do it. But what's the next time I wear a tux? My funeral? that's not a bad
noted, idea. By the way. That's what you choose to be buried in.
Absolutely.
I have to let everyone know. Matt, he wanted to be buried in a tuxedo. Really? Is that going to be comfortable in the afterlife? Doesn't matter. Get him the white shirt. So John Letters were the name of the clubs. And it was a Scottish guy on the outskirts of Glasgow that made clubs.
Oh, man. I wonder what those go for now, like some other clubs by that guy.
Let's see. That golf club, the club that they play at in the movie, sold last year for $79 million.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
$79 million?
Oh, I mean, by the way, the house. I mean, the course. I'm talking about the course and the club. When I say the club, I should. It's a lot of club talk here. I get it.
God.
We're talking about the building, all 14 tennis courts.
Okay.
And the golf course itself. But that said, right, $79 million for that, which is a pretty cool thing from Goldfinger to own.
Yeah,
like, you know,
if you're going to own anything like, from Goldfinger.
Hey, I have the golf course.
I mean, short of Fort Knox and all of its.
But like, so that just made me think to myself, okay, so what did the last DB5 that sold at auction from James Bond?
This is at Christie's just last week, I think.
Let's see.
I want to say it was like $29 million or something.
Oh my God, really?
I could be wrong.
That's amazing, by the way.
I could be wrong.
Okay, because in August of 2022, Sean Connery had an Aston Martin DB5 himself. He owned it privately.
One of the film ones?
Unclear, but it was sold by the Connery estate, and all the proceeds went to the Sean Connery Philanthropy Fund. It sold for $2.4 million, but that's not one of the ones used in the movie.
Hmm.
So what I want to know is, what did the last...
Okay, I can tell you it couldn't have been $29 million, because the whole... Christie's auction raised £6,103,500. Aston Martin, it went for £2.922 million.
£2.922 million. So, I mean, really, you could have the golf course or like 30 of those.
Yeah.
I guess. Because I kind of feel like that's pretty good value as far as I'm concerned of owning something from a James Bond movie, owning the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
are you kidding? But what an overhead.
Yeah, but it's also like it's functional in the sense of like you operate it and it brings in money, etc. Whereas, like, if you spend $3 million on... And the Aston Martin, by the way, that was sold for $3 million...
Yeah.
...was the one from No Time to Die that is all scratched up and has many bullet hole.
Oh, you're right. Do you want to hear some of these others?
Yes,
so
please.
So, the Fabergé egg from Octopussy was expected to reach 10,000 pounds. It sold for 327,000 pounds. You telling me Octopus does not receive? I don't know which one.
What, is it Octopus the fake one or the real
finally
one?
finally getting its due. The Q jet boat from World Is Not Enough, 126,000.
Oh, that's too much.
The Aston Martin V8 from No Time to Die, which I would love to have.
Yes.
630,000. The Omega Seamaster.
Like
yeah. Diver, 300 meters, 007 yep. edition. That's 226,000.
What?
And the Triumph Scrambler 1200 from No Time to Die motorcycle, 138,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
There's a second round of the auction on October 5th, Matt. You better be careful.
They're selling, by the way, the miniature of the BMW 750 IL from Tomorrow Never Dies, which has estimate of $8,000 to $11,500. It's 15 inches high and 49 inches long.
Oh my God!
So that's what they drove.
They've got
off
some
the roof.
Oh my God! There's some amazing things. There's a menu from the Cafe Martinique from Thunderball.
Sure.
Estimate 800 to 1200 pounds. That, see, I love stuff like that. Let's see.
Like, oh, is there
Moonraker
anything?
Drax crew belt buckle? Fabric Zorin patch. Oh my God, the cello case from Living Daylights.
Oh my God. Wait, do you know how much
here's the Tomorrow Never Dies stunt model? $10,000.
That's what it went for? Or is that like,
that's
what it's gonna,
what it's
that's
going,
what their opening bid is?
It's bid, there's 11 bids, $10,000.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is an interesting time. It's weird that they don't tell you which Fabergé egg it is.
I know. Maybe they do. I was just reading the headlines. Lots of Bond suits. There's Silva's suits.
Okay. So it's the fake one.
Oh, it is.
Because it's the... with a hinged cover enclosing a miniature carriage adorned with white crystals on a spring-loaded disc revealing a hidden compartment mounted to it on a wire stand. So it's of the of the eggs in that movie.
That's even cooler, I think. Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, I wonder if anything like... I wonder if they sold anything that was like, oh, this did very poorly.
Yeah.
Nothing looks like it sold underestimate as I do a quick peruse here.
I bet if they sold that tiny little tie that Daniel Craig wore in the Desert of Spectre that comes down to his nipples.
There's a guy, Dory and I went to a charity event on Saturday, and there was a gentleman that was there that must have been 6'8". Dory's like, what do you think he does? And I was like, makes ties look tiny.
Professional.
Yeah.
Tiny tie looker making my guy.
I was just like, oh my God. And like, you think about like having to like lean down constantly to talk to people. It's, I don't know. I don't want to say it's a nightmare, but it's a nightmare.
Tell it to Richard Kiel.
Oh, the late great Richard Kiel.
Yeah, yeah.
We're losing everybody slowly but surely as time creeps on.
We could close this episode out with who we've lost since last we spoke. I'm trying to remember.
Jesus.
Who died in this past year?
Besides the character of James Bond, who died?
Yeah. I feel like there's a bunch, but I can't think of who they are. Did Tanya Roberts die before or after No Time to Die?
Oh,
this is our really ham-fisted
that's a good question.
In memoriam service.
I'd like to say thank you to everyone who worked in a James Bond movie but also died. You guys were great. I can get it. So there's a vintage John Letters putter on eBay right now for $12.
Oh, wow.
And if I were right-handed, that would go straight in my bag.
Yeah, that's right. That's too bad, man. You must have, I know guitars are slim pickings for you, but golf clubs must be even more.
I would say that golf clubs are less slim than guitars. Like, because they tend to offer like 40% of golf clubs, they also offer left-handed. You have to usually special order them. Whereas I feel like with guitars, it's like 20%. You can also get left-handed if you're lucky.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so there's nothing that we need to gather our funds and try to bid on, right? To collectively own it as the James Bonding podcast.
Other than that menu?
Do you have a favorite episode of our show that you are looking forward to people rehearing?
Well, the Amanda Maria Casino Royale is a classic because of in a well discussion. I don't know. That's a tough one to top. I also remember really enjoying the two-part drinking episode we did where we had people over.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The draft episodes were fun.
Those were good, but those are it's a ways out for people because that's later in the run.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
You know, that In a Well is probably the funniest discussion we've ever had, just because you couldn't write that. You couldn't write that mishearing.
And remember how long we went on the Spectre publicity announcement, the press conference?
We really were starved for another Bond movie at that point. Yeah. In a way that, like, I don't remember ever being. Even between Dalton and Brosnan and Craig, it was 3 years.
Yeah, that was pretty quick. Yeah.
And this one, it feels like it's going to be like 5.
I'm sure, at least. And even more when you think about it, because their movie's actually been done for almost 3 years, even though we've had it out for a year.
Right. Yeah. That's wild. And I wonder, too, if they're going to do a situation where they're like, we don't open on streaming and, like, we'll only do theatrical.
They seem to feel that way. I hope that's the case. Did you hear John Williams said he would love to do a Bond score? That would be amazing.
Would it be? It would just sound like everything else.
I don't care. Give it to me and hurry up. I know the guy looks good. He's doing the new indie movie, but come on. Let's not. Dilly dally.
Every time Bond is like silently stalking the villain, it's just dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, that would dun, be dun, so dun. Easily. Yes, so easily. You know what you do? You get Spielberg to direct and Williams to do the music. Oh, come on.
Do you think? That'd be amazing. I don't think he is. He can't have any interest in that anymore, right?
Well, it's interesting that he's not doing the new indie, so maybe there is a full circle sort of thing where he would do it. That would be incredible.
Oh, he's not doing – he didn't do this Indiana Jones, huh?
No, James Mangold did.
Ah.
He's executive producing, but he after Crystal Skull, he's probably like, I ain't going to put my name on another one of these.
I don't need this fucking – I don't need George's wild alien ideas.
Tells me that the plot of this one is probably even wilder.
I wonder, it's interesting to me that they're like, we're going to do this fifth Indiana Jones movie and ignore his son.
Good question.
Question mark.
I know there's a couple returning people from the franchise. I won't say anything more than that. I'm actually pretty intrigued because, A, you got nothing to lose after Crystal Skull. I don't think it could get much worse. And I don't even hate that movie as much as most people, but still. And James Mangold, I think, does some pretty good films. So I'm curious.
I wonder, like, I don't know. I've been worrying about the franchise for a while.
Yeah.
But I do really worry about what version of Harrison Ford I'm getting in this movie.
Oh, I'll tell you what version you're getting. The year-old version.
Yeah, so sure.
How they're going to do, they have to deal with it. Like, that has to be a centerpiece of the film. Otherwise, it'd be crazy.
I get it. An 80-year-old. But, like, do you think he'll come across as bored out of his fucking mind?
No, I think he's in a new phase of appreciating that people like him in his age, because also when he came out for the Disney 23, the D23 thing, he was really passionate about it. I actually think this and the Star Wars ones, he's not been phoning it in.
No, he was good. He was good in, he was like a highlight of Rise of Skywalker.
I agree.
But also he was in the scene with the only other person trying in that franchise.
That's so true.
It was like
on a blue screen.
Oh my God. I just was like, this is so I would love to. I know we had talked about doing Indiana Jones, like, of course, and and maybe we'll use this feed and get Rust back.
That's not a horrible idea. Yeah.
And we'll go through the, before Indy 5 comes out, we'll hit him up.
Right.
But I do, I would love at some point to have a long, long discussion with you in a podcast about the trilogy, the sequel trilogy of Star Wars.
Oh, me too. I could do that.
Because it's like, it is, to me, it's still a thing where I am so confused by every choice made. Like, just like, and like, the fact that I was like reading, I had read at some point not long ago that Kathleen Kennedy was, and Kathleen Kennedy, legendary. I mean, mm-hmm. she produced every great movie I loved as a child.
Yeah.
And I think he's very talented. But like the choices that overseeing the franchise that she made, one of them being let's not do Galaxy's Edge as Tatooine. Let's set it up as this Black Spire outpost and we'll set it between the two movies. Between which one? Between
Was it between Jedi and Force Awakens?
Or, no,
it's between it's Force Awakens between, and Last Jedi.
Yeah, or is it Last Jedi? Whatever it is, whichever one it is, it's like such a micro timeline to be in.
Yeah.
That you like, now you go, I don't know if you've ridden the Rise of the Resistance.
I did for the first time a couple weeks ago, and then I scammed my way in for a second ride.
Nice.
Yeah.
What'd you think? It's a great ride.
It is a great ride. It had been so overhyped and it wasn't like I was disappointed. I really loved it. I had a great time. But there's something a little sterile about it, but my favorite part, the whole thing, my favorite part, and this was an unintended consequence of the ride, is when there's a portion when you're in line and you almost get a little mini ride, a little ride hors d'oeuvre, you know what I'm talking about? The little transport shuttle. Mm-hmm. And when you come out of that, you're met by a Disney ride ops person who's not a performer, who's like, you know, one of the people that's like, how many in your party? Two, blah, blah, blah. But they are dressed like Imperial commanders and I think instructed to be a little cold and mean. But what's hilarious is so they come in and they're very stern and they're barking orders at you, but they're still wearing a, you know, a Disney name tag that says Jason or Cynthia or whatever.
Jason, Ontario, California.
Yes. So that killed me. And then to think, oh, wait, the parallels of the Disney Empire versus the Galactic First Order. Yeah, pretty spot on.
I took Henry on it. Like,
uh-huh.
When did we go? It must have been August. I took him on it, and once we got into the line after the shuttle, we get on the Imperial Star Destroyer or whatever the hell it is. Who knows? We're in the hallway, and we've been told to line up. He looks at me, and he goes, are we in Disneyland anymore, or are we in space? And I was like, what do you think, bud? Do you think we're in space? And he goes, yeah.
Wait, he thought we're really in space.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because he's three. He's three and a half. I mean, he doesn't
See, that's when I love Disney. Because
exactly.
The fact that you could transport a child's imagination like that is so
wonderful. So I said to him, what do you think, bud? Do you think we're in space? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, we're in space. And then we went on the rest of the ride. He had a great time.
That's a lovely moment. Oh,
it really was. It really was. It was very sweet. But it was also like, oh my God, like the part of your childhood that like could be shaped by Disney is like such a magical time. Yeah. And it's also like why a lot of us as adults have like this weird nostalgia for Disneyland and world. And it's something that like you have to sort of, you have to embrace it, I think, when you're in the park. You have to, like, ignore everything else and enjoy the bubble you're in.
Yeah, I'm finding that's tougher and tougher because, well, we also went of when course. It was super hot, but the app system's really, like,
it
feels like you're in a competition. It's so crowded, but still, you know, Amanda and I have been working on this podcast that's a limited series for Amazon and Audible about working for theme parks, you know, mm-hmm. a lot to do with Disney. Yeah. That's coming out early next year. So we've gone to all the major theme parks and we've been talking to so many people. So it's just been on my brain like crazy. It's been a lot of work, but it's really fun. Hey, have you shown your guy any Bond movies yet?
No, because his attention span I've noticed about him is he has a real problem with second acts.
Yeah, I
like,
can see that.
He's like, oh, when everything starts to go bad, be it for like Goofy and his baseball bat breaks, and it's like he wants to like go to the next thing. Like not understanding that there's going to be a solution and it will be a rewarding conclusion to a thing.
I'm forgetting how young he is too.
But it's also like he doesn't like watching any adversity coming up against any of his beloved characters. And he watches three things. Like he watches Mickey Mouse, Roadster Racers, Mixed Up Adventures, and Funhouse. There's three CG Mickey Mouse cartoon shows for preschool toddlers. And he is like obsessed with them. And he gets to watch them every night at 5 o'clock before dinner, 5:30. And he's very specific. And I haven't figured it out yet what the pattern is, but sometimes he asks, he's like, put on Funhouse, not the beginning, which means he needs to skip the opening credits. Then there are nights where he's like, put on Mixed Up Adventures from beginning. And he wants to watch the theme song. And it's like, I'm just like, I haven't figured out yet.
He's going to be a great Bond fan because, you know, he's going to be like, give me Diamonds Are Forever, but when they get to Circus Circus. Give me Blow Up Your Pants to Golden Toilet Paper.
I want Pigeon Double Take till they get into space.
I unfortunately I can hear my child.
No, go be a dad. But everyone,
the one thing I want to.
I
just want to say real quick. I don't know if you've seen Slow Horses. I've read the books and watched the first season on Apple TV. It's a kind of misfit spy story, but if you're looking for a Bond sort of fun spy story, I really liked it.
Noted. Yeah.
Gary Oldman, Olivia Cooke from the
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he's great in it.
Well, Matt, I'm excited that we get to re-release the Kraken, as they say.
Yes, re-release the Kraken. starting this Wednesday, October 5th, you'll have two episodes, episode 0 and episode 1 in your feed. You'll get Dr. No, and they will release weekly from here on out. Come along on the journey for us. I'm sure we'll pop in from time to time. Can. Maybe that Indiana Jonesing. It's not a bad idea.
That seems like what we might have to do, everybody.
Yeah. We'll see.
Rust, where are you?
Star Wars is. Get in here. He stays at my house. I keep him in a
I'd like him to fall through the ceiling. That would be how I'd like fall to arrive.
All right, my friend.
James Bonding
will return. Stay subscribed. Bye. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. Matt and
James Bonding Podcast. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.